Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another action-packed, commentary and content-filled episode of The Roundabout. Folks, we like to say here every week that The Rock is progressive, and we also like to say here every week that the puns are excessive. And you know, I gotta say, folks, I don't know what time it is outside when you're hearing this right now, but I look outside right now and I gotta feel like this album, and I gotta say, it is a beautiful day. And there's no one I'd rather spend it with you, listeners, and also my wonderful, wonderful co-host, Peter Grant.
Hi, I'm the wonderful, wonderful co-host, Peter Grant. Welcome back to The Roundabout.
Now, Peter Grant, I have a question for you.
What is your question, Griffith Seymour, my co-host?
You ready to hear some good music?
I am more than ready to hear some good music. After that Fountains of Wayne episode, I'd love to hear some good music. I'm sorry, I quite liked the Fountains of Wayne album.
You liked that Fountains of Wayne album, yes.
Yeah.
Listen back to that episode when we get the archives up to find out what we're talking about there, dear listeners. By the way, before we get started, if you weren't aware already, you're listening on KHDX, the voice of Hendrix, online at khdx.fm. And yeah, it's a neat, cool radio station for Hendrix College, if you weren't aware of that. Now you are.
I'd like to add, just so we can have that full real call sign out of the way, you're listening to KHDX-FM, Conway, Arkansas.
There we go.
Now yes. We can move on.
I don't know if there are any other Hendrix colleges, but this is the Conway, Arkansas specific one.
Yeah, we have to say all of that in a row. That's the requirement.
Otherwise, we will be attacked.
We will be assaulted.
It's true. It's true.
But at least it's a very nice day for it.
Exactly. It is a beautiful day. And that is also, Peter, you know, the phrase, it's a beautiful day. I've said that twice now. Why have I said that twice?
Because that's the name of the band and the album that we're talking about today.
Well, no, I said it because it's true. But also, that happens to be true as well.
It's also almost the name of my favorite movie. My favorite movie is called It's Such a Beautiful Day.
I thought you were going to go with It's a Wonderful Life. And I was like, that's a weird pick, but okay. But never mind. You have a valid take, actually.
How could I have a favorite movie that was black and white?
Listen, like, my third favorite movie ever is black and white. Don't judge. Shut up. I'll fight you.
That's okay. I really like 12 Angry Men.
Listeners, unfortunately, this is an audio-only format, so we're going to have to move away from the audio-visual discussion with movies and move back to the album. Now, Peter, this album, It's a Beautiful Day. Wow, messed that one up myself now. Yikes. This album, It's a Beautiful Day. Who's it by? What artist? What group? Etc.
It's a Beautiful Day. It's a Beautiful Day. It's by It's a Beautiful Day.
What? I thought that was the name of the album. It's a self-titled album?
It's a self-titled album. It's a self-titled debut album from 1969.
You know, we don't get a lot of sentence names nowadays, I don't think, you know?
No.
Like, we used to, I think it was the Mormons, but not Mormons. It was like early, like, Puritan names, that's it, yeah. Well, let's see if I can find some good Puritan names, because they're very good. Man, anytime I can talk about Puritan names is a good day in my book, honestly. But, yeah, perfect names such as Praise God Barebone. What a good name. Consider this one, Job Raked Out of the Ashes. That's the first name. Another first name, Has Descendants. Anyways, it's rare that we get, you know, they got rid of sentence names of people back a couple centuries ago. But we have a couple sentence names of bands. And now we have a sentence name band and album. And I think that's just neat.
Yeah, I will say this album is considered to be psychedelic rock. But I would dare stretch that a little bit. I think this could be considered progressive rock.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's very... Bits of it are psych, bits of it are prog, you know?
Like, yeah, like if you've ever listened to Pink Floyd, you already know psychedelic rock and progressive rock are like joined at the hip.
This is true. So, Peter, what can you tell us about It's a Beautiful Day, the band?
Honestly, not much.
I'm gonna be roasted by my dad, because he was the one who recommended this album to me originally. Full disclosure, a bit behind the scenes there. I'm gonna be roasted alive by him for not knowing the exact lore of this whole thing. But, David LaFlamme and his wife... Oh, LaFlamme. Yeah, there we go. There's two M's. Yeah.
Actually, it could be LaFlamme or LaFlamme.
I'd like to think it's LaFlamme, because that sounds really cool, actually. Yeah, no. And then Linda LaFlamme, who I believe were married, I'd assume based on the last name thing, but I could also just be wrong, so who knows? Oh no, yeah, no, it is his wife. I just did a full Google. Yes, David LaFlamme and his wife, as well as Hal Wagner on the guitars, Mitchell Holman on bass, harmonica, backing vocals, Val Fuentes on drum and backing vocals, and Patty Santos on percussion, bells, and vocals. We got a lot of vocals on this album, y'all. We got a lot
I
of
like the
vocals.
vocals on this album.
Oh yeah. In fact, most, I believe, yeah, at least half of that lineup is still in the band today.
Really? They're still around?
As of recently, Linda LaFlamme, Val Fuentes, and David are all still in there. So,
Oh, wow.
it's really impressive, honestly. Yeah, they're all, yeah, they all still vibing. They still look outside and like, you know what? It is a beautiful day, the band.
Yeah. You want to get into the album?
Sure. This first song is called White Bird. It was one of the singles from the album. You got any thoughts on it before we start?
This is such a great side one, track one. This is a fantastic song. I love it so much. I only listened to it for the first time earlier today, but I think this is now just one of my favorite overall songs. It's not even my favorite song on the album. I just really, oof.
Ooh, high
It's super good.
praise.
And it was written based on an experience that David and Linda LaFlamme had while living in Seattle, Washington, living in the attic of an old house while playing and rehearsing at a nearby venue. And the song was inspired by, ironically, Seattle's rainy winter weather when it was not a beautiful day. David LaFlamme said, quote, "We were caged like birds in that attic. We had no money, no transportation. The weather was miserable. We were just barely getting by on a very small food allowance provided to us."
That's real good. That's a real good origin for a song. I gotta say, this feels like a road trip song to me. You tell me if I'm wrong here, but this feels like a road trip song, you know?
I can see that.
Like you put this on a road trip playlist. Like there's some songs you don't, but there's some songs you do, and this is one of them. I will say, I feel like a bit way in the middle, I feel like it meanders a bit, but also, you know, songs are allowed to have a little space if they want to. I ain't gonna complain.
Yeah, that's psychedelic rock for you.
Indeed, indeed. Also, the harmonies in this song,
I
very, very good.
love the vocal harmony on this album. I cannot stress that enough. It's so good. I've gotten to a point where this album has put me in a place where the most that I have to say about it is just that I like it a lot. I like this album a lot. Griff, do you want to listen to the first track?
Absolutely, folks. Let's get to it. This is White Bird by It's a Beautiful Day from It's a Beautiful Day. Thank you.
That was White Bird by It's a Beautiful Day from their album It's a Beautiful Day. That's a beautiful song, It's a Beautiful Day. Griff?
I like this one. You mentioned it earlier. This is a very strong side one, track one. And I do think it is a high quality opener, you know.
Yeah. Like, when I think about, like, debut albums by bands, I tend to have this assumption in mind that, like, oh, they probably aren't in the swing of things yet. It's probably their, like, third or fourth album or whatever that's going to be what people really like. But this blew me away. I wasn't expecting it to be this good.
That's a real good point. That's a real good point on it. I think we said most of what we had to say before the track started up. So do you want to just hop into the next one?
Yeah, let's talk about it a little bit first. The next track is called Hot Summer Day. And listeners, I hope you like the harmonica.
Oh, yeah.
This track's got it in spades.
Indeed.
Griff, do you have any thoughts on Hot Summer Day?
None in particular. I think this one, after the strong opener of the first one, I was like, dang, can't wait to see where it goes next. And technically, it goes to one that is marginally less good, but also that is a low bar to be not as good as the opener, you know, because White Bird is so dang good.
For sure. You want to get into it?
Absolutely.
All right.
Hot Summer Day by It's a Beautiful Day. From It's a Beautiful Day. Let's listen to it.
Here's the song.
I said it didn't show, and they told me that I looked a fool, and I said I'd let that go. But when they told me that our love was dead, I had to turn and go.
summer dream, is sliding around my mind. And then, where they begin, circling like a river over brightly colored snow, breaking up my
Hey, they made 8 Alpha and Omega movies. 8! They made 8 of them!
That was Hot Summer Day. No. That's in the episode.
Sorry, folks, I was getting heated about some film-related content. They made 8 Alpha and Omega films, and no one wanted to see the first one. Why did they make 7 more? It wasn't that no one wanted a sequel. No one wanted the original, but they made 8 of them. They should have stopped at 0.
We know exactly why they kept making them. But instead of talking about that, I think we should talk about Wasted Union Blues.
I mean, to say that I'd rather talk about that than the previous topic is true. But also, I think this one sort of... My arc in listening to this album was, ooh, good opener. Then, the second one wasn't as good. And then this one, I was like, what? Because it's very, very different than the previous one, you know?
Yeah, this one gets weird. This is where we start going, oh, I see. This is what they meant when they said psychedelic rock.
Indeed, indeed.
It's got some fun, wacky, crunchy guitar. I like it.
The tone of this one is a big shift, folks. It's much less, we vibe, and it's more like, you know, but big relatable sometimes. Big relatable.
I super get that.
I'm curious how that'll sound on the waveform on the microphone. Probably even worse than it sounds with me saying it out loud. So you want to get to it?
I'd be happy to. Here's Wasted Union Blues by It's a Beautiful Day.
Thank you.
And that was Wasted Union Blues by It's a Beautiful Day. From It's a Beautiful Day.
Dude, I got a question for you.
What's your question, Griff?
You like Neil Cicierega.
I was also thinking about this. But yes, I do.
What? Why would you possibly be thinking about Neil Cicierega right now?
Because the next song on this album is called Girl With No Eyes, and there's also a song by Lemon Demon, which is the name of Neil Cicierega's musical project, called No White Girl. Yeah, that's the joke. That's the bit. I hope you liked it, listeners.
Welcome to the roundabout. The music ain't playing, but the jokes are explained. That was a stretch, but I just had something off the top of my head, so I'm not going to complain too much. Sounds like one of our listeners thought it was funny, so I'm going to count that as a win.
So, Girl With No Eyes is my favorite song on this album. I gotta take a sip of water. Griff, that was really good. How did you do that fast?
What can I say? I'm just incredibly funny all the time. That's just how it is.
So, Girl With No Eyes is definitely my favorite song on this album. It's another shift in tone. It's a much slower song. And I dare say it's played in the style of a waltz.
Yeah, I can see that.
Now, I'm a sucker for triplets in music already, so that is already that something that, you know, plays in my direction. But man, this song is just absolutely gorgeous. I'm very excited to listen to it.
So you know how some, and by some I mean pretty much all films nowadays are like, if they're a horror movie, it's like, let's find a children's song and play it ominously, right?
Yeah.
This feels like something that they would do that for.
I super get that. It can be construed as creepy.
I mean, there's a line that's, quote, if I make a sound, she'll know that I'm trying to hide. And it's like, what? Oh no! Run!
You know, psychedelic rock, it comes with the territory. 90% chance this song is about a bad trip. But I think it's gorgeous.
Fair enough. Listeners, after we listen to this song, you can let us know what you think of it on our Twitter account at roundaboutkhdx or gmail.com or at roundaboutkhdx@gmail.com. That's our email. Let us know if you want.
Everyone's definitely doing it. Everyone is sending us emails. You should send us emails too.
Except for you specifically, listener. It's just you who hasn't. Join. Send us an email. Or you're missing out.
It's super fun to send us emails.
Exactly. Everyone else is doing it and they're not telling you. So you better send us one.
Here's Girl With No Eyes by It's a Beautiful Day.
There's a girl in my room and her face on the wall with no eyes. There's a girl in my room and her face on the sound, she'll know that I'm stirring inside. If I make a sound, she'll know that I'm trying to hide. Girl with no eyes, who can she be? Girl with no eyes, she's looking at me. Beautiful girl, who does she see? Seems to be staring. Doesn't everybody know? Everybody know love takes a lifetime. And doesn't everybody know? Everybody know love is the high sign. Of a lifetime.
just a reflection of all the time I've been high. Girl with no eyes, who can she be? Girl with no eyes, she's looking at me. Beautiful girl, who does she see? Beautiful girl, she seems to be staring. Doesn't everybody know? Everybody know love takes a lifetime. And doesn't everybody know? Everybody know love is the high side. It's the high side.
That was Girl With No Eyes from It's a Beautiful Day by It's a Beautiful Day, and we have now reached the end of side one of that album. There's only three songs to go. Griff, you got anything to add?
The first side has a lot of songs that, you know, songs you could take home to your parents, metaphorically speaking. The next side gets a bit weird, let's say.
And this side gets weird. And listeners, I'm going to let you know now, most of these songs run together in weird ways, so you're going to be hearing them, like, fade out. That is not on the album. That will be me doing that. It's not quite the most honest way to present the album, but it's the easiest way for us here on a radio show to do. So, heck, you can find it online. If you don't like that, let us know. Send us an email or a tweet.
Where can they send us an email or a tweet, Peter?
At roundaboutkhdx on Twitter or roundaboutkhdx@gmail.com.
Well, those two things exist. Wow. If I wasn't already on the show, I would definitely engage with that directly and, like, do that. That'd be neat.
In the meantime, here's the next song on this album. It's called Bombay Calling. Griff, anything you want to say about Bombay Calling?
I have some ideas, but I don't want to spoil them until after.
That's all right. I think this one's fun. Here's Bombay Calling. Thank you. That was Bombay Calling by It's a Beautiful Day from It's a Beautiful Day. Griff, do you have any thoughts about Bombay Calling you want to share?
It's real good. I got some, like, Tubular Bells vibes from some of it, honestly.
Yeah, I really like Bombay Calling. I feel like it's the most directly, like, progressive rock-sounding song on the album.
Oh, I think, absolutely. I mean, it's entirely an instrumental, so...
Yeah, yes, that checks
I
out.
I agree.
This next track... Sorry, what were you saying?
So I gotta say, though, this next one, Bulgaria...
We were saying the same thing. Great.
Okay, you go first then.
You're already going. Keep it up.
No, you had a clean in. You can continue going. It's all good. Edit around it.
No, that's fine. You go right ahead.
Okay.
Say your silly little words.
Bulgaria, the next one. I'm a big fan of it too. It was real good. It's probably up there in my my ratings on this album. I was a fan.
Bulgaria is?
Yeah, I liked it. I was like, ooh, I'm vibing with it. I'm vibing with it. And that's just how it is. Yeah.
I kind of had the opposite reaction. Bulgaria, again, is one of those songs which really, like, shifts the tone of the album, and it's very, like, it feels very widely spaced out to me.
I think it's to be expected on Prague stuff, right? Because, like,
I don't know. It's one of those situations where there's just things on this album that I enjoy more.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, there's a lot on this album to enjoy.
Including Bulgaria.
Boy, It's a Beautiful Day from It's a Beautiful Day.
When you're in a dream, the time passes so slowly, when you're in a dream. Set free.
That was Bulgaria. This is Time Is. We're playing it straight through. Enjoy.
Time is too slow for those who wait, and time is too swift for those who fear. Time is too long for those who grieve, and time is too short for those that laugh. And love is too slow for those who wait, and love is too swift for those who fear. Love is too long for those who grieve, and love is too short for those that
I was fly, but even flowers must die. And then a new day comes, and there's a new day's dawn, and there's a new day's sun, and love stays on, sweet love stays on.
That was Time Is by It's a Beautiful Day from their debut title album, It's a Beautiful Day.
It's a beautiful debut.
How did I not think of that? You're on the roundabout where the puns are excessive and the rock is progressive, and I'm mad I didn't think of that one. That's a real good one, folks.
Thank you.
A beautiful debut indeed, everybody. Listeners, I was a big fan of this album.
Oh, I adore this album right off the bat. This is the first time that I've ever listened to it, was listening to it for this episode. I'm blown away.
And listeners, I hope y'all liked it too. Any other closing thoughts before we head out for the evening, Peter? Or no?
It's just, this was a very like reflective album for me. It's like, you know, a lot of the stuff that we do here on the Roundabout is either stuff that we've, like one of us has listened to a lot of before, or stuff that we'll just like step aside for a moment and just, this is something else that's in the genre. But then there's times that an album like this comes along and just listening to it reminds me of everything that I love about this genre and about getting to do this show. And I really like this album.
Peter, I'm glad I got to do this album this week. And listeners, I hope y'all liked it too.
And quick shout out to Griff's dad for recommending it. Thank you.
Indeed. Shout out to my dad for recommending this. Heck yeah. That's it then, folks. This has been The Roundabout. As always... our intro is Midnight Rendezvous by Cassiopeia, and our outro is What You Won't Do for Love by Bobby Caldwell.
We'll see you next week, listeners.
I just did a thumbs up, and I realized that this is an audio format, and no one can hear that, so cut that part out, I guess.
No,
I guess you wonder where I've been. I searched to find the love within.
you.